Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
And this is Devin Leary, live and in person.
This is a live show. You guys don't know this, and you know who knows when we will actually be able to do a live show. But as far as we're concerned, Devin and I are in person. Skin to skin contact has been made.
I mean,
we are flesh to flesh right now.
Did we?
No, but that's as close as it feels when someone is physically around you, not behind a screen, not in a bubble. And
I wore my bubble, but I left it outside.
It deflated. Devin rolled up to the house and I stabbed her bubble with a pair of scissors and then invited her in. Many of you, maybe none of you, might think, what do Devin and Carolina talk about in person? Well, just before we pressed record, we were talking about how Justin Theroux and Jennifer Aniston have managed to maintain a friendly relationship. It's mysterious, and there are theories as to why. There are theories, but first things first, hot off the press, The Weeknd and Angelina Jolie have been seen together.
At dinner.
The Weeknd, his love life has been interesting just in the fact that I remember the first time I heard his song, The Morning. It was 2012. And I remember thinking, I've legitimately never heard a sexier song in my life. I've never heard a sexier singer. Like, I've never had the experience where I'm like, this song turns me on. And that's what I had listening to him. And then seeing him in person, I was like, oh, he's sort of like this goofy, like a little bit chubby guy. Not that he wasn't sexy, but it was just not what I was expecting.
I think he's so hot.
Okay.
So we disagree.
But then he left Bella Hadid for Selena Gomez.
Yeah.
Sings a song after Selena Gomez leaves him to get back together with Justin Bieber because...
It was always going to happen.
And, you know, it.
Because I know I go back to you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, why? I will say that, like, I would never leave someone like The Weeknd for a Justin Bieber. I would understand in with like a musical genius who is in love with me. And I think he seemed really in love with her. And then he sang that song about, like, I almost cut a piece of myself for you. Obviously, speaking of his kidney, he was going to give her a kidney.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
You have to be a certain kind of hot to be like, what's up? I'm a mom of 7. Do you want to hang out later?
I know.
It's like Kim, you know, Kim's a mom of 4. And when you see her latest social media posts, you realize like, oh, you're working a little bit. But Angelina Jolie and The Weeknd getting together, she was also pictured, this is a Dumois tip, at Diplo's house. Did you see that?
No.
Okay. Well, he honestly, to me, is like... someone that someone pulled from like a water park in Florida.
Yep.
So I can't find him attractive, or I can, but in a way that, you know, like you maybe don't tell your friends you hooked up with that guy last night because you're like embarrassed over how gross
like
he was.
Everyone's talking shit about him the next day at brunch. And they're you're like,
who's that guy who was hitting on all the girls? And he was like so wasted and like grabbing people's asses. And you're like, oh,
I know. Yeah. You're like, that guy fucking sucked. I hate that guy.
I don't even. Let's talk about something else because it's depressing to talk about him.
Wait, what do you think about Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker?
Kourtney and Travis,
Kravis.
I think they both should look at the real elephant in the room, which is that they all have children who are insane.
Yeah.
They have really put all of their kids in different ways in the limelight and have not given them a chance to find themselves or to, you know... Travis's daughter is like 14 and posts pictures of herself online all the time and is basically just an influencer at this point without finishing high school. So is his son. Mason actually seems really sweet. Kourtney's kids, who knows? I mean, wealth can corrupt. When you're worth $1 billion for nothing, sometimes that can confuse children.
Yeah.
But to me, it just seems like a really sweet, albeit juvenile relationship where the cheerleader is like, wait, you guys, what if he's hot? And they're like, oh my God, him? He has like all those tattoos. He has a tattoo on his face. And she's like, yeah, but I'm kind of into it.
It is actually exactly that. You're right. And now she's like dressing punk.
Oh my God.
Like, so there was a really funny TikTok making fun of like, what's his name? Benny Drama. Benito Skinner posted a really funny thing where he was doing an impression of like her pretending to be punk. But so I have two thoughts about it. On the one hand, I'm like, okay, the power of a woman in her 40s to be able to have this public of romance where they're like, she's like giving him lap dances in public and people are taking pictures of it and they're like in young love. That gives me hope. That gives me dreams. That gives me faith. That gives me... like, just, I like that, okay? But on the other hand, I'm like, Kourtney, what's going on? Like, she's best friends with, like, a 19-year-old. That's weird.
Wait, who?
Addison Rae, this TikTok star, is, like, her best friend. And it's really weird. And Tess and I talk about it all the time. It's like, why? It started a while ago where there was a storyline on the show that Kourtney was being friends with all of Kendall's friends. And
Kendall, yes, I remember this.
Yeah, so Kendall was like, it's weird because at the time Kendall was like, well, I'm like 22 and Kourtney's like almost 40 or she's already 40. So that was like 5 years ago or 10 years ago. It's like now she's still hanging out with 19-year-olds and she's doing like TikToks with like, that's my best friend. That's my best friend. And it's a 19-year-old. That's weird. So I really don't like that. I did see a TikTok theory which said that she maybe is being paid by Addison Rae
almost as a sponsorship
thing of like, now I can be like more famous because I'm friends with you.
Totally.
But it's like she seems to enjoy it. And then she's wearing like these like, no offense, but like, I don't know. It's like
Hot Topic.
I'm of two minds about this, but it's like, I feel like I really used to think like women should just dress however they want for their whole lives. And I really do think that. At the same time, if you're a mom, and you're wearing a pretty little something designed by Pretty Little Thing, which we know is made in a sweatshop. And it's so short that it's underwear. And like, it's basically you're wearing underwear and a bra. Like, I don't know. It's like you have a like preteen son. Like that maybe is weird for him. I don't know.
It's okay. You can say this, Devin.
Well, I don't want to be. Devin, your
women's studies teacher isn't going to come burst in the room.
Like, I think there's a way to be like really sexy. Like, I feel that way about myself now where I'm like, I think like the days, literally 365 days ago or less, only like 1 year ago when I was wearing like a bra as a shirt, is like maybe that time's done.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, I am of a couple of minds about this too. A couple of minds.
Give me a couple of minds.
I, first of all, did not know that about Addison Rae. That's extremely strange. And I remember that tension on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I remember specifically understanding when Kendall was saying, you can't hang out with me and my friends and then make fun of me with them.
Right.
And I was like, oh my gosh, Kourtney, like you are the divorcee mom who's like trying to like rag on your little sister.
But listen, moms should wear whatever you want. But I'm just also saying like.
No. I understand. By the way, there's some people who can wear stuff really comfortably, but when anyone is TTH, remember this phrase?
Trying too hard.
Yeah, so it's something you can feel, right? Like, some people can literally just throw on whatever, and it doesn't even look like they're trying too hard. They seem like that they care that it's hot. And if that's the case, then...
Fuck you, because it shouldn't be that easy.
Exactly. But if it's something where... It's sort of like how you feel when you go out. Do I feel comfortable? Do I feel fun? Or do I feel really awkward because, you know, I'm... just trying to get this certain male attention, and this actually isn't who I am or how I usually dress. And by the way, I can do that without wearing anything skimpy at all. I can literally just be wearing a shorter dress and being like, I'm pretending to be someone I'm not. I'm not this girl. But I thought it was weird when she made that fake Instagram video of her giving a blowjob.
Oh my God.
I thought it was so gross. She put like Travis Barker's thumb in her mouth, and I was like, that to me is weird too.
Something's going on. It's like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, something's going on.
She always, though, struck me as the Kardashian with depression. Like, you know how we all knew Michelle and Destiny's Child was depressed before we found out she was depressed? That's what I feel about Courtney. Like, when I was young watching the show, because the show's been around for 20 years, I was like, wait, what's with that one's voice? Why does she talk like this? I was like, is she high?
She was zannied out.
I hope the best for them. I think Travis Barker seems really cool and very, very, very hot. And I actually watched his TV show, Meet the Barkers, with Shannon Mochler, who seems to be going through something of herself. And my prayers go to her. But I'm not saying this out of the goodness of my heart. I just can't stop thinking about the kids. I'm like, is anyone watching or guiding these children? If you're obsessed with maintaining youth, then how can you fully parent?
Yeah.
We are going to take a quick commercial break. And then when we get back, Devin and I are going to talk about
an important thing that's really like interesting and meaningful.
We're going to discuss open relationships. The whys, okays, hows.
The huh? The whoop.
Are you serious?
The forget about it.
Stay tuned. I want true
romance. Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back with True Romance. Devin and I feel like whenever we hear about someone in an open relationship, we have this similar reaction, which is no. How?
I used to be like, no. And now I'm like, okay, maybe for some people. But then every other story I hear, I'm like, wait, never mind. No.
I was definitely like, I don't see how it's working. I feel like it's always someone's idea and someone else is just going along with it to be happy. But I was reading an article today and I read Carly Sorrentino's book, Slut Ever. And I think you just have to accept that everyone has a different experience in relationships. The article I was reading today, the person was describing basically how they couldn't stay monogamous. They would always get distracted in a relationship. They would cheat all the time. And that sounds really awful, but they sincerely seemed embarrassed and remorseful over this. And it was because they realized they couldn't be monogamous. They couldn't have be in a monogamous relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I love monogamy. Like, if I meet someone and I'm kind of flirting with them and then see them dance with someone else, I'm over it.
Yeah.
I can't look back after that point. That's literally happened in New York. I had like kind of this crush on this guy and we were at a dance party and he was dancing with this one girl who was dancing crazily with everyone. And so it wasn't even weird that he danced with her. But when I saw them dance together, I was like, no, yeah. I can't. And I'm just a very possessive person. When I'm out of a relationship, like that's usually over. But when I'm with someone, like I'm with you. And monogamy is very clear to me and I really like it. And it's actually where I feel like the most free and that I can relax. But that's not everyone's experience. And I think that this article quoted a study that said like 4 to 5% of people in this country are in an open relationship, to which I wanted to say, oh, I wonder who's answering that poll though. But basically there are rules and that is the experience that I've heard about the most is that yes, if you are in an open relationship, you can be successful, but it can't be willy-nilly. You have to have guidelines that you don't betray. And to me, that feels like a version of monogamy. Like, okay, I'm going to be here for you. You're going to be here for me. In order to do that, you know, we need to have certain decorum. And like the thing with monogamy is that it's like, you don't sleep with other people. I don't sleep with other people. We don't talk to other people romantically. And for polyamorists, it's like, I can pursue relationships. You can pursue relationships, but the boundaries are more, they can vary from either like we don't add each other on social media if we're dating someone new to no friends.
No friends, yeah.
I mean, the interesting thing is it's the same principles that we have in monogamous relationships, which is honesty. Like you have to always be honest with someone else.
Yeah.
You can't sneak out or anything. And someone in the article I was reading, the person put it really well where she said, you know, when she was cheating with someone, she would get a high from it when she was having an affair. And that sometimes made the affair feel like love. Like I'm like sneaking away with someone.
Yeah.
And she was like the secrecy of it made it feel like more potent than the connection actually was. And she was saying now that I can basically go on a date with someone, it's very clear to me that I'm still going home to the person I want to be with.
Yeah.
Like I don't have any illusion about it, which I thought was really interesting. Like, because my whole thing would be, well, A, why are we dating? And why don't you just go be with that person you're going on a date with?
Yep.
But her reasoning was that you can fall in love with anyone, that there is no security in relationships ever, which I know, but I don't like to think about because it makes me too depressed. But if you need that variety, then you need that variety and no one can temper that, even someone you really love. But I mean,
I feel like in a previous lifetime I was cheated on, because if I hear about cheating, like of people I know, people I like, people I don't like, people in real life, people in,
you're upset about life, Angelina Jolie still.
Like every person I date, I'm like, what are your friends' relationship issues? Like I want to know it all right now. Anyone who's like had a cheating thing, I'm like, give me all the details so I can get so fucking angry and have nowhere to put it. So it's really hard for me to wrap my head around like the openness of it all. But I feel like a few years ago it became more of a thing where it's like you can open a relationship up. Like that's like, it's become like a solution to, maybe it always was and I just became aware of it, but I became aware of it as like a solution to relationship problems. Like maybe we could open this up. And I do think that in some ways I can totally logically, rationally wrap my head around it. Cause it's like, listen, like if you found someone who's a partner for life, but they don't meet every need, or like you just are like, I don't want to only have sex with one person forever. That makes total rational sense to me. I'm like, oh yeah, that totally makes sense. Like you, like that would be cool to be like, oh, maybe we can just like have one like month a year where we like hook up with people like that.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. I've heard about multiple situations where it seemed like people were just afraid to break up or get divorced.
Sure.
And they were like, the easier option is to be like, let's just be with other people because I don't really want to be with you. And it's like, that is just such a recipe for hurt and disaster when it actually is like the easier, softer route to just end it. Because it's like, really? Then you're going to just, yeah, like go date someone else and fall in love with them. Also, I think the feeling of falling in love is addicting. Like, just like.
Yeah.
And so I guess if I was considering doing this, I would have to think like, am I just looking for a high? Like, am I just looking for an escape? But I also just remembered that there was a time when someone was telling me about like this married couple that they know, and it was like an open marriage, and like both parties were like dating multiple people. Like it was like they already had like three consistent people they were dating. And I was single at the time, and I was like, I can't even get a consistent message going. And these people are like, I already have the stability. I already got married. I already have like everything, but I'm just going to go like check out the apps. And they already have like three consistent hookups. So I'm like, why does it work like that? But then someone pointed out to me that like maybe like people are more, because people put it on their profiles now where they will say I'm married, but in an open relationship.
Oh, right.
And someone was, I forget who, but some like conversation I was having with people, someone said like people might be more drawn to that because they're like, oh, there's no threat of commitment. This person right. is like already married.
Okay. So that reminds me that on Raya, I accidentally marked myself down as Carolina is just here for friends for like one day. I was like, are you kidding me? But I got so many likes from that. And I feel like it was because people were like, oh, good, that she doesn't, like she's not looking for a boyfriend.
Yeah.
She probably just has a boyfriend, but is just putting that down to
have like a threesome or something.
I don't even know. Like it's, why would the fuck would I be on Raya? Why is anyone on Raya just for friends? I always think of it as a cover because I remember there was this guy who was on Tinder and he was in a relationship. My friend saw him on Tinder and he was like, I'm here just for friends. And my friend was like, no, he fucking isn't.
Oh,
he's just trying to hook up with people. And so,
ew.
But I was like, oh, people are attracted to the non-committal. Like, I'm just here looking around. I'm just here hanging out. Instead of what I really am, which is like, marry me.
I know, which is like, okay, I want to fantasize about whether we will have a two-story or three-story home. I want to fantasize about if you can afford to split with me a $60,000 down payment in about 10 years.
I literally got, like, I had a match with this guy that I had a crush on forever ago and was in the shower later that morning being like, would it be crazy if we moved in really quickly?
What is my mom going to say when I say like, okay, so I
it's
know
moving
it's quick.
Fast. I know he's fast. Older, but bear with me.
There's
always been something here.
We've all been talking about it. We've all been thinking about it.
We
and
knew
now
it was
going
to get to this point. No, we haven't messaged each other yet, by the way. But I think that there are some people... Again, I have to be open-minded to realize that people don't always think like I do. I'm incredibly, I was going to say cerebral, but that implies like intellectual. I overthink everything. I can be paranoid. I have a hard time staying in my own experience because I'm always worried about your experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching porn the other night and it was OnlyFans. And it was this couple and I was like, oh my God, I'm so relieved that I found this couple that like like it's not like abusive or anything. Like it's
that's
like,
what the porn world has come to. Oh my god, I'm so relieved I found someone who's not getting like vomited on like, and slapped
run over
in the
by
face.
A car. Yeah, I was just like, okay, I'm like shoved out a window. I was like, oh my gosh, what a relief, and like what a healthy relief. Like outlet. Then
someone who's not having their face put in a Christmas fire. It's like Mr. and Mrs. Claus porn, and it's literally like a guy shoving a teenage girl's head in like the Christmas fire, and he's like, yeah, I'm not on the naughty list. I'm nice.
I can't even like that. This world like is just so dark. But
I know sometimes I get to that point too, where I'm like,
I just need people to be nice to each other at this point in my life. Like I'm just too tired. So I found this lovely couple, this lovely couple, and they're like also happen to be hot. Anyway, I see them swing with another couple. They blur the other couple's faces. So I'm like, okay, what is going on? And the whole time, like, I'm like half into it, but then I keep getting taken out because I'm like, are you guys okay with this? Like, wait, this is really gnarly. Like, are you guys in love? Like, are you playing a couple? Or like, is this going to be a conversation later? Like, are you going to be upset or jealous? And I'm like, I can't. I'm so sorry. I'm now thinking about them later in the day just doing errands. Where I'm like, God, I wonder how they handle that situation.
Right. Like, do they have trouble sleeping? What if someone recognizes them from OnlyFans?
I would get to a point where I would just be like, I just can't worry about this anymore.
Yeah.
I already have enough to think about with just a strictly monogamous relationship. I can't worry about who
That's
you're
so
seeing.
That's so complicated.
And listen, I know that we can only ask for honesty and expect honesty. And like, yeah, I'm not... That's not how I would be able to function, but I think
that
other
people can't.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think that this is the only thing I've known. I remember, now that we're talking about it, I remember in high school, I think I did want an open relationship with my high school boyfriend in some respect, but I couldn't outwardly say it. But I was, God, he was like 22 when we broke up, and I think I was 17, and we had like a good thing, but I wanted to just date.
It sounds like it was healthy. You were in high school and he was 21 years old. Okay.
But I really liked him because I feel like he made me feel really comfortable with myself from someone who I did meet him literally a week after I got out of eating disorder rehab. And
sounding even healthier. Okay. Go on.
He picked me up in his van. And
I had my thumb up and then he slowed down.
And kicked his family out of the car and put me in. But I remember like I was also just like a party girl at the time, and I always wanted to go make out with guys at parties. So I'd always break up with him, basically just go have a weekend of fun. But then I would miss the stability of him. So I would like come home. Literally, I would bring like snacks over as an apology for like not cheating on him, but not cheating on him. I mean, when you're leaving someone, when you're texting someone a breakup just so you can go get your jollies and then like coming back together, like that's just because that's quote unquote honest or you're drawing some random boundary, it's still really weird.
I can't really comment on what you're saying because, again, while you were doing this, literally making out with multiple people in one night and breaking up with your, like, consistent older boyfriend so you could do so, I was, as I said, watching John and Kate Plus 8 with Drake's coffee cake stuck in my braces and yelling at my mom. So, no. And also, like, I one time, my experience of hooking up with guys at parties is literally was like at parties with my friends and was like, can you like ask so-and-so if he'll make out with me? And they would be like, he actually said, no, I don't think so.
That's the worst feeling when you're already, oh my gosh, when you're already insecure enough that you already know that like you can't approach this person.
Right.
It's happened to me like in my mid-20s where I'm like, I can't tell this person I like them. So we just find out like you... That is, you're already like in a losing battle.
I mean, I've like never really had a different experience than that. If any, like I will text or message someone that I'm interested, but I've never like gone up to someone and been like, hey.
Well, that's not how it happens either, really. I think you can find
out. How does it happen? Just tell me. No, I'm kidding.
I don't know. I feel like there is some reading the room that happens. And if you are reading the room and you're not seeing anything, I mean, Cody Rigsby, Peloton teacher, just said it today. He was saying it was
so crazy. It was like, today I just ran into Cody on my Peloton.
I was on my Peloton biking and Cody Rigsby was yelling at us and he said, if you have to chase anyone, they're not the person for you. Yeah.
Carol, what the? Wait, this is what happens on the Pelotons. Now I get it. Because I was like, why does everyone have one? And what is happening there?
Yeah. You learn a lot. So I do think at that time in my life, I didn't have the language for it. And I found a lot of comfort with this person. But I also was very thirsty for, I was thirsty. And I haven't felt that way since, but I have. I just think it's funny what you wish for, because I do think at that period in my life or shortly after that when I was in college, all I wanted was a partner. All I wanted, oh my God, was a boyfriend, a boyfriend, a boyfriend. And I'm so glad I got those years of insanity. And if you had paused me, if you had stopped me in my tracks at any period during that time and said, do you just want to meet the man who will become your husband? I would have said, yes. Are you kidding me? Where is he? And I was just talking to my friend the other day about how, like, no, I'm not ready to get married. There's no way.
Speak for yourself.
I mean, I would love to meet someone, but I'm so glad I didn't miss out on those years of being absolutely lost.
Yeah. This is a thing, too, that I think about with open relationships is, like, is it people who who feel like they missed out on like their fun single phase? Because I don't feel like I've missed out on that. I feel like I've fully experienced that. But I remember being in previous relationships when I hadn't fully experienced that and always being like, I don't know, like, is there something else? Like, I've never been on dating apps. At the time I was like, I've never really like casually done that. Like, and I do think maybe some open relationships are like, well, I have to do that. And I do want to say that I received intel from an anonymous source that I contacted about what it's like to be in an open relationship / thoughts on an open relationship. And that anonymous source said basically that it can be really painful if everything is not evenly agreed upon, like if one person wants it more than the other. And if rules are not set and stuck to, like, you have to have the structure. But it can also really help your relationship if it's a thing where you're like, we're always going to wonder if we could have had this period, or like, right, we're always going to, you know, and like, we want to know if this relationship is really worth it, because sometimes you don't know until you're out of a relationship that it wasn't the right thing. So I think like sometimes maybe it works for people to separate for a while or try opening things up or whatever. But, you know, but and then I also, because like we said, like I was trying to open my mind, because I do think I tend to be like, okay, no, and it's a sign that there's a problem, and like, no. And so like, I don't think I would be capable of that, although I don't want to completely like shut myself off to like, I don't know, but I'm like, I want to keep my options open. No, but I'm just saying like, I don't know if I'd be capable of that. So I think maybe my way of like feeling better about myself is saying like, something must be wrong there, when maybe it wouldn't.
But I think it's hard imagining yourself as a completely different person. And I don't mean completely different person in a bad way. I'm just saying literally a completely different person. It's hard thinking of someone who has different ideas of relationship dynamics and doesn't come with the baggage that we do in a lot of ways, and truly believes it's as simple as like, I love you, I want to see other people and still be with you.
Yeah.
I think that there's so much shit I have that I wouldn't be able to see through. Like, if someone said that to me, the first thing I would hear is that, like, I'm not good enough. You don't love me.
Yeah.
I'm not enough for you. You need someone else. But I, you know, have family friends who are in an open relationship. And I fell asleep at their house, like, months ago. And the wife was like, oh, I'm going to go out dancing with some friends. By the way, Austin is going to take a bath if you want to crawl in with him. And then just headed out.
Wait, what? How old were you?
This was like 2 years ago. I was like 28. And I literally was like, what? Okay. The funniest thing too is that then I went to bed. I fell asleep in their room, where, by the way, the room is covered in high-end erotic art photography. So I was like looking around me like, okay, this is a chapter of my life is
I don't
falling
understand
asleep at this
how
house.
You like felt safe asleep.
Well, because I've known them my whole life. So oh, okay. I knew that they were like totally safe people and they are in an open relationship that they've been in for years where one of them has even like had a girlfriend while they've been married. But it was just so funny because I was like, oh, casually, again, you've known me. I've known you my whole life casually. Like, oh, yeah, but if I want to like hop and have a tub with your husband, like, yeah, maybe I can do that before bed.
Also imagine like what response did she imagine? She's like, oh, if you want to crawl in with him, like as if you were going to be like, oh, good to know. Okay, that's an option. Okay, cool. Thank you. And
wait,
like,
which way is the bathroom? Okay, well, if I do.
Well, good to know. Thank you. And I appreciate that.
And is this bondage art on the wall or just, okay, cool.
Is this a belt?
But
or?
I guess what I'm saying is that was very casual to her and she wasn't trying to be weird or like transgressive or anything at all. Like, and I just have a completely different experience. And I think that most people say stuff like that with judgment, but I really do.
Yeah. Well, so I also watched this Esther Perel TED Talk that I watched a long time ago. I rewatched it. Basically, she says that monogamy started as like a prehistoric scientific biological thing where it was like, we need a partner so that we can give birth to a baby. And it's transformed into this thing where it's like, I need you for everything. Like, you're my best friend. You're my soulmate. You're my roommate. You're my like partner in raising kids. You're my business partner. Like, it's become like, this person's going to be my
Simon and
everything.
Alex on Real Housewives of New York.
It's become John and Kate plus eight. It's like, you're my, like, we're not going to have a reality show if we're not together. You're my launch pad. No, yeah, it's like, no, Real Housewives is a great example because it's like, there are those couples who are like, my husband, my husband, my husband. And it's like, this person is your whole life. Like, so the helpful reminder for me that she said was that, like, she talks about how to keep, like, desire and excitement alive within basically captivity. She calls it like mating in captivity. It's like it goes against each other. It's like, I see you every day, you're my security, but I also want you to be like my lust, my passion, my excitement. And the piece of advice she basically gives among many other things is just to like be in your own life and like do what makes you happy. And that's like the thing that is alluring to people. Like that's what draws people to other people is someone who's in their own life, focused on themselves and happy. And I think
I hate how easy it sounds.
It sounds so easy, but it's so hard because she was talking about like being the person in the relationship who's always like, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Like she called it like the kid who's always looking back. These types of people who always look back and they're like, are you okay? Is everything okay? It's like you're taking on way too much responsibility.
Wow, yeah.
She said like responsibility and need are the antithesis of desire.
Like, how dare she?
And so when you're someone like us who's like putting all the responsibility on yourself all the time of like, are we okay? Are we gonna be okay? Blah, blah, blah. Are you okay? It's like you become less sexually excitable because you're like, well, I'm just like thinking about your experience of this.
Right.
Like if you weren't worried about the other person's experience at all, you could like, it would be, think about that. It's so much easier to have an orgasm. It's so much easier everything because you're just like, I'm good. Let's hang out, you know? But when you're not, when that doesn't come easy to you, it doesn't come easy to you. And thus, Carolina and I spending many years in therapy and programs of recovery.
I am grateful for this advice and I really am going to take it into this coming week with me because I think that it's hard to remember to start inward as much as I hate saying stuff like that. But it is like, again, I have trouble focusing on myself because I'm so trying to tune into the other person instead of myself, instead of trying to tune into how I feel. And sometimes I do look at people in open relationships as sort of like enlightened in some way.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, if you are able to do this with stability, with confidence, without like fear and jealousy and resentment sneaking in any more than they would in any other relationship, that's really impressive.
Yeah, it's really impressive. And I get hard on myself with stuff like this because I'm like, oh my God, I thought I already knew that I just had to focus on myself. Why am I still not doing it? And it's like, first of all, to even get to the point where you're like trying to self-reflect, where you're like, oh, I am the type of person who like takes on too much responsibility, like that already is just like a feat in and of itself.
Right.
I mean, for me, it even manifests in like, I think part of my addiction to like social media is like a codependent thing where I'm like, what's everybody else doing? I don't want to look at my own life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it's like, I just have to be like, I have so much shit to do. Like, what am I doing?
No, it's so, why I worry in the middle of the night by like what Scott Foley's up to.
Who? Oh, from Scandal?
Yeah, I'm always like, how did I get onto this fucking C-list celebrity's Instagram? And it's because I just start thinking of people and it becomes a need to find out how they're doing.
Okay. You're talking to a gal who ended up on the YouTube channel of Shawn Johnson, former Olympic athlete for gymnastics, and her husband. And I was like so freaked out because they're the couple who like he's really tall and she's really short. And it really freaks me out. She comes to tell him that she's pregnant because they're like parenting obsessed now. Like they're like very much a parenting blogging couple. Like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Probably like pretend to be Christian and stuff. So she comes to tell him that she's pregnant in their home gym. So already dark. And she's like, I'm pregnant. And he's like, I could tell you were pregnant because you're being such a bitch. And I was just like,
no. And that was supposed to be like cute or funny.
I don't know. That's just like their dynamic. And I was like, humanity, how have you even produced such things as like Gilmore Girls when this is what you're capable of? But
yes, you produce such things as Michelangelo and the Gilmore Girls and Amy Sherman Palladino.
And yet, this is what you're up to. Like, no. So yeah, I do that.
I want true romance.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I did want to give a shout out to a show on TLC called Seeking Sister Wife, which is about couples who are seeking to add a member to their relationship. Like they want to have another person in their relationship. And one of the episodes I watched really was helpful for me in terms of what you were saying, where it's like, I'm like, oh, these people are so enlightened because they like have multiple partners. And like, I wish I could be that cool and stuff. I wish I could be like Lenny Kravitz. Like, I'm sure he does stuff like that. Like, he's just cool and I'm not. And I watched this episode. It was literally this couple and they were like moving and they were just annoyed at like the third girlfriend because she wasn't helping as much with the move.
That's
and they're
me.
Like, really? Like, could you just do the dishes? And I was like, so it's really not that glamorous. Like, you just needed extra help with the move. And now you're annoyed that the extra help is like not doing their part. Okay. So I think it can be like a practicality thing. It's like, if you need something done around the house, get yourself on Thrinder, get yourself on there, go on some dates, find the right person, make sure they're sturdy.
It's like if TaskRabbit was a dating app.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think about what kind of sister wife I would be.
You would be a great sister wife. I still think that, like, maybe we should just do that.
If we were sister wives and the guy would never get like a fucking chance,
we would
talk. Be like, wow, I can't believe you said that. And you would be like, oh my God, Carolina, you know why he said that? It's because of his insecurity around this. And I'd be like, oh my God, Devin, you are so right.
First of all, we would talk nonstop and they wouldn't get a word in edgewise. And then if they did, we would like immediately lay into them. And I know Carolina would always side with me and I would side with her.
The funny thing is too, is that we both hate going outdoors or doing anything. So the guy would be like, hey, do you guys like, I made like a beautiful picnic. We'd be like, no, like you can't like, just like, I don't want to say God, this, but like
trying to do activities again. Like, I don't want to do the activity.
He would ask to be a guest on the podcast. And we'd be like, we just think it's weird. It's more of like an us thing.
He's actually been sitting here this whole time. He's
in the corner.
It's more of an us thing. Listen, most of the stuff we do is an us thing, so it's going to be tough. But, like, do you want to, again, $60,000 down payment on a place? No? Yes?
Devin, I love seeing you in person.
All right.
Devin,
I just want to say one thing, though. Like, your podcast setup is totally different than I imagined. It's a totally different part of the house than I imagined. And she's got, like, a very, like, suave, sleek little mic and a sleek little, like, high-tech recorder. I think she's clearly upgraded from me, which is, it's a real testament to how iHeart sees us differently just because Carolina has curly hair. And so that's shocking.
I'm also taller.
Yeah, you are taller.
There's so many reasons why I'm better than you.
There's a lot of reasons. She has three dogs. I had one dog that I gave to foster care, aka my parents. And I also want to say that I thought that we were going to have like this emotional thing. Like, I've been thinking about it for a year. Like, when I see Caroline, I'm going to cry. When I meet her dog Coyote, I'm going to cry. But it really just felt like any other day because we do talk on the phone sometimes multiple times a day. We do listen to each other's voices as part of our jobs most of the time during the week. So it was just kind of like, hey, what's up?
I see you weekly at least on Zoom, usually twice a week, but it's also so funny because we've gotten to the point where with how much we work together that when I see you, it's not like, hey girl, it's like, hey, okay, you ready?
Yeah, or like, hey, okay, how's that thing going that you're talking about? Okay,
all right, yes. I've got to take a piss before we record.
I gotta piss. This is like the point in our friendship where we just go like, I gotta piss.
I've got to take a big long piss before we record. Is that cool? I've got to take a big American poop before we record.
And it's going to be right here, right now. And right I don't now. Care that our boyfriend and our sister wives our is just sitting
is here.
I don't care that Cody is here. Cody is the only man who can be in a like sister wife situation. So we're going to just have to add on to Cody's life. And let me tell you, the pandemic was not friendly to the Cody family, whatever their last name is, sister wives. It's like half of them are in Utah. I tried to watch it, the pandemic season of Sister Wives, and I was like, wait, why are half of them in Utah? Half of them are in Vegas. Like, they're all over the map. They're like, he's working out in his room, and then they're like taking care of the 75 kids. I was like, oh my God. And there's so many people on reality shows who are the type of people who are like, oh, I hope they don't put the restrictions on again. Like, oh my God, we're back to being normal. When it was like Thanksgiving, when it was like people were 75,000 people dying a day, and they're like, oh, I hope they don't say we can't go out to dinner again.
That's what the Beverly Hills Real Housewives were doing. They were like, oh my God, I think it's gonna shut down again. Meanwhile, they're literally shopping for Christmas ornaments.
They're shopping for Christmas ornaments, and Rinna's, they're having a totally normal experience, by the way. They're like going out to dinner and shopping, and Rinna's like, okay, so my daughter's dating Scott Disick, and I'm like kind of worried about it. She's so excited.
She literally cannot hide her pure glee.
She's like, I know Scott from the Kardashians. He's married to Kourtney. Bitch. So you read Wikipedia.
Do I text Kris Jenner about it? No, she will be like, delete my number.
She'll be like, Lise, we've talked about this. All right. This is not an anti-Rinna podcast. I don't know how it became this way.
Tune in next week Until then, I love you, Devin.
I love you, Carol. I love you, Cody.
I love you, Cody.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true. True romance, it's so romantic. Love me, baby, don't.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.